When Jesus established the Lord's Supper, he said, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." When he instituted the feast, which would remind his followers of his sacrifice, Jesus did not say that the cup merely symbolized his blood in some mystic way, but that it should remind us of the new covenant that his blood established. So since Jesus refers to this new covenant as new, it should make us think about what makes this new covenant different from the old covenant. So what is a covenant? Covenants are sometimes considered no more than a contract or agreement between two parties that carry certain obligations, rewards, and consequences. But covenant, as the term is used in the Bible, is much more than a mere business agreement. For example, the friendship of David and Jonathan is said to be based on a covenant, and Malachi says that marriage is by covenant. So covenant then can describe not just a formal agreement between two parties, but a special degree of relationship, a relationship so serious that its participants must make a solemn agreement about it. So God dealt with Israel and deals with his people today through special covenant relationships. In fact, the book of Hebrews is largely about the contrasts between the old covenant established by God with Israel at Mount Sinai and the new covenant established by Jesus. In Hebrews 12, the writer recalls that when the old covenant was established, the people were forbidden from even touching the mountain where God's presence rested, and Moses said, "I am terrified and trembling." The Lord's Supper symbolizes in part the close fellowship we can have with God and with Jesus under the new covenant. The closeness of relationship Jesus established, however, can be better appreciated in comparison with the relationship between God and his people under the old covenant. The entire Mosaic covenant, which began at Sinai, emphasized this vast distance that existed between God and his people because of sin. For example, God's presence under the old covenant rested in the most holy place in the temple. Only one person out of the entire nation, the high priest, could enter into the most holy place, and even he could only enter it on one day out of the entire year. And even then, the high priest had to perform elaborate ceremonies before entering under penalty of death. So in Romans 7, Paul describes how the old law functioned to make people aware of their sin, which is summed up in verse 10, "The very commandment that promised life proved to be death to me." Fortunately, God never intended for the old covenant to be the sum total of his relationship with humankind. After Paul expresses in Romans 7 his disgust with his own inability to keep the law perfectly, he rejoices throughout Romans 8 at the relationship with God he now experiences through Jesus. As a result of the new covenant Jesus establishes, Paul says we are adopted children and heirs of God. It is no accident that Paul and the other New Testament writers use imagery like adoption and inheritance to describe the new covenant fellowship we share with God. As the Hebrew writer tells us in Hebrews 10, the law was but a shadow of the good things to come. In stark contrast to the arduous distance between God and man that the old covenant emphasized, is the special relationship with God that Jesus established through his blood. God's people under the new covenant need not be afraid of approaching God. Under the new covenant, we have a mediator, Jesus, who brings us to the very city of God and directly into his presence. In the Lord's Supper, we experience some of the majestic vision the writer of Hebrews describes. We come to the table in an assembly of the firstborn, the assembly of saints that comes together to memorialize our Lord's sacrifice. We come to the table not only in fellowship with each other, but in real fellowship with Jesus and with the Father. In the Lord's Supper, we approach God in a way people under the old covenant never could. The Lord's Supper symbolizes, in part, the new covenant that Christ established through His blood. When we eat the bread and drink the cup, we remember not only the physical sacrifice Jesus made, but also the special spiritual relationship that we now share with Him and with the Father, the relationship that He died to make possible. We no longer approach God through an exclusive priesthood or through bloody sacrifices that must be offered several times a year. Rather, we have a direct relationship with our Heavenly Father, a relationship that Hebrews 12 compares to that between an earthly father and son. Rather than cowering in fear at the base of Mount Sinai, as Moses described, we come to the very presence of God at Mount Zion and share true spiritual fellowship with Him and with His saints. That fellowship can be seen when we eat the Lord's Supper, a family meal where the children gather at the table in the very presence of the Father and the Son, not in fear, but with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water.